There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. I sigh a little bit as I do the intro because the truly big story in wrestling right now is how Vince McMahon let two of his presidents just go, and how this affects the business side of WWE. That's not a strong point of mine, but in short, George Berrios and Michelle Wilson left WWE and were allowed to leave. So if Vince, at 72-ish, passes away, we assume Triple H runs the wrestling side of things, and I'm not sure who runs the business side of things. On the business side of things, Fox and USA are paying big money for three TV shows, but house show business and network subscriptions are down. And WrestleMania in Tampa isn't even close to being sold out. So while we're not strong on the business side of things and what it means, we love fantasy booking. So Mike, I know you have thoughts on the direction of this year's WrestleMania.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're now coming up to 60 days almost, and it's post-Super Bowl. So for me, yep, it's a depressing time as a sports fan, but overall, an exciting time too, because it is officially WrestleMania season. And I thought of this, Jimmy, over the weekend, and a lot easier to think about this, especially when the Patriots are not in the Super Bowl this year. So my take for the SmackDown side is you're going to have The Fiend and Roman Reigns. Now, they go for the Universal title, but what I think is going to happen, typically when you see Roman Reigns in a main event status, even in the Royal Rumble last week, being in the finals, the final two with Drew McIntyre, people thinking in the back of their head, oh boy, here we go again, Roman Reigns is going to win. He's always going to be a favorite. He's always going to be on the mind that he's going to win. In this scenario here, I think the WWE has to go one of two angles. The first angle is to finally have Roman Reigns turn heel. And the reason why they make him turn heel is to finally get everyone that's not rooting for him to actually kind of root for him in a way that they've tried to tell you to root for him and it just doesn't work. So do that. That's one scenario. But I really think the best case scenario is what they have to do is you have Roman Reigns lose to The Fiend, meaning that The Fiend remains undefeated. And what was the pay-per-view he debuted at in 2019? That would be SummerSlam. You have him ride that undefeated streak all the way into SummerSlam, where eventually he is going to lose. And I think that's where you bring someone back into the picture, like a Daniel Bryan, who has made it pretty clear there's a way to beat The Fiend, he could do it, and so forth. But this is the best scenario if they're going the Roman Reigns route, You got to have Roman lose and then climb his way back into that main event picture and have the Fiend remain undefeated, because he is way too hot right now for business. Best thing going on the SmackDown brand, in my opinion, and ride that momentum into WrestleMania and possibly into SummerSlam. That's how I'd book a WrestleMania.
All right, so a few things here. One is Roman is a heel to a certain demographic because they boo him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good guy to the kids because they buy all the merchandise because they're told to buy all the merchandise because Roman is the guy. Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, is a good guy amongst the adults because it's different. He is a unique character, and he's a little hokey, but it's creative, so we allow it. So the Bray Wyatt-Roman Reigns match, while a little predictable, and they'll probably have Roman win the Elimination Chamber in Philadelphia, which good luck with that one, because Roman in Philadelphia doesn't seem to do well. But the story with Roman is he's coming back from leukemia and this, that, and the other thing, and he was the original scheduled winner of the Royal Rumble until Paul Heyman talked him out of it and talked him into Drew McIntyre, which was a better option than the rumored Aleister Black scenario. So we all think that it's going to be Roman against The Fiend. I personally think it should be Brock Lesnar against The Fiend at WrestleMania, title for title, winner take all. And it's simple in the fact that you can't call that match. You can't predict who is going to win that match because Brock has been this unbeatable force and The Fiend has been this unbeatable force. I would have The Fiend beat Brock Lesnar, but you can't necessarily call that. But back to the Roman thing. I think Roman is going to end up triumphant at WrestleMania over The Fiend, and boos be damned. The Undertaker's last match in Orlando, that was boos be damned. They made the switch in San Francisco to have Seth Rollins cash in during the Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar match. 32, they just let it happen. Triple H just put him over when the decision that would have been best for business would have been Roman comes out, blows doors on Triple H, and wins the title in Dallas that way. But Triple H has to have a 30-minute match because you have to tell a story in the main event or in Triple H's match. So maybe the story is Roman comes out guns a-blazing and, you know, pulls a flash pinfall on Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, and wins the title that way. I would not take the title off the Fiend. But just kind of playing into your thinking here and your booking.
Yeah.
Roman's winning at WrestleMania. Like, that's the story. He comes back from leukemia, overcomes the odds, and beats the seemingly unbeatable Fiend Bray Wyatt, because that's Roman's story. I don't see it. If Daniel Bryan was going to beat the Fiend, he would have done it by tapping the fourth corner in a strap match at Royal Rumble. But they made it clear that the stipulations weren't that way.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, along with Roman there, you talk about him going title for title with Brock. I like that as that scenario. But he has said, like, in so many words, that the titles don't really matter to him. So that's where I think that you have him lose to the Fiend. He remains undefeated. Then you have the Fiend lose his first match at SummerSlam. Then Roman Reigns go for that chase there back to that main event caliber and really bring in the leukemia factor that he came back from the cancer, he survived and all that, and here he is back at the top of the main event status.
I think the problem, though, is that Roman's been chasing since WrestleMania 31.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't seem that way.
And he finally won it at SummerSlam that year, where they had Strowman outside the ring being like, I'm cashing in on the winner.
Right.
And they had it as kind of a flash pin there just so that Brooklyn crowd wouldn't boo it. And then he had to give up the Universal Championship because he got the leukemia back. So this is his chase right now. And they've done it low key where Roman loses here. He loses to McIntyre in the Rumble. But Roman Reigns is going to be main eventing. He's going to be the Universal Champion again, because this is what fans, I don't think, understand.
Yep.
We talked a little bit about the business to open up, and the business side of things is I'm not good at business. I don't do math well. I defer math to other people.
Mm-hmm.
the business side says that the people who sign the TV deals, Fox and USA, they get to pick who's on top.
Right.
This is why Brock Lesnar is here. This is why Tyson Fury is part of the company. This is why this thing happens. This thing happens because $1 billion over the next 5 years is what Fox is paying. And you saw all their advertisement over the Super Bowl.
Oh, it was insane.
So they're going to tell you who they want as their champion. Hmm. How show business is down, network business is down. So the Fox executive is the person who's making the call saying, Vince McMahon, Roman Reigns is our guy. Make him the champion. And they look at it and be like, why is he being booed? Or when they go into the executive meeting, if the executives aren't watching, they play around with the audio, which is very easy to do in the digital age, and just fade out the boos and the cheers. And that's why you are getting all these crowd shots. And that's why the production team missed the edge spear on Dolph Ziggler, because they're too busy getting the fan reaction, because that's what they show the executives who aren't watching the product week to week.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, and it's just like, back to my point, though, of having him lose, it's just been, you talk about the adults loving The Fiend, being so high on him. I'm just going off the story scenario, and yes, maybe the executives would say that about Roman Reigns, but I think they, on the flip side, they got to look at it that how successful The Fiend has been as a champion with the ratings for SmackDown. That's a big thing for them right there.
And that's why that's why Fox wanted The Fiend on their show. That's why they did the whole switch.
Right. So, imagine that, though, him holding on to that title into the summer, and bringing that into SummerSlam. And then you have Daniel Bryan chase after that. That's another great story there, too. I just think that Roman Reigns, yes, he will be in the main event. Excuse me, he will be fighting for the Universal title at WrestleMania, but I think he needs more of a rebuild for a real chase here, and right now is not the time to do that storyline of him coming back from leukemia. It needs a little more time to be built up. He needs to get more of the fans on their side to kind of have that real emotional attachment where I don't think he really has that right now. Something, you look at his connection with the Usos. Maybe have the Usos turn on him or something. So much possibility. Yes, he will be a babyface, but right now is not the time to have him be a champion at WrestleMania.
There are some fun scenarios that we could play with when we get closer to the biggest party of the summer, which is in Boston, and that's the potential of if Bray Wyatt's still the champion and SummerSlam is the second most important pay-per-view to WWE, which some feel it is. I don't. I find it like fourth at highest. I think it's
fourth.
WrestleMania, Rumble, Money in the Bank, SummerSlam.
Wow.
Because the implications of the Rumble and Money in the Bank are higher than...
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Anything that they can offer at SummerSlam. Just my opinion, even though it's promoted as such.
Yeah, I put SummerSlam number 3.
You could play around with some scenarios if you want Bray Wyatt as the Fiend still as the Universal Champion. You could have John Cena, who's from the area. You could have The Rock. You could have Hulk Hogan. You could there's just a lot of scenarios that you can play with. And yes, I did say Hulk Hogan because Hulk Hogan still thinks he's going to have another match. And why not Boston? Why not SummerSlam, where he had his last match in WWE?
Yeah.
And you could do that. You could do something. Or maybe it's The Undertaker, because there's an Undertaker Fiend match out there for somebody.
Right, exactly. So anything is possible. It's my booking scenario that I thought of as we get closer to WrestleMania, James.
You had some thoughts. Speaking of going to WrestleMania, you had some thoughts on Drew McIntyre and the build to WrestleMania there.
So obviously he's going after Brock Lesnar, and he's not going to be fighting him before WrestleMania, but what I think he's going to have to garner some heat with Brock Lesnar. The problem is, though, you're not going to see the WWE champion on television every week. That's just the case. So as we know, there is a pay-per-view before WrestleMania. In fact, there are two with that Elimination Chamber and then the one before that.
The Saudi show, February 27th, and then yep. Elimination Chamber is March 8th in Philadelphia, which good luck with that crowd.
Yeah, exactly. So I think what WWE needs to do, which they have done, and as Drew McIntyre was promised last year a match with The Undertaker, you have him fight The Undertaker at the Saudi Arabia show, because it'll show that he can build up his stamina to that top superstar, the next to become the next WWE champion, The Undertaker, who knows Brock Lesnar. And this would be kind of a dream match for Drew McIntyre, if you will, to go up against a future Hall of Famer right there. You say you beat the Taker at Saudi Arabia, then you beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. He has to have some sort of serious booking, because what they have told us in that story there, Royal Rumble, knocks out the guy who knocked out 13 rather participants in the Royal Rumble as the number one guy and the champion. He needs one more big opponent before WrestleMania. I think The Undertaker is a perfect example right there for Drew McIntyre.
So I tend to agree that McIntyre needs another big win to keep his momentum up.
Yep.
One thing that they could do too, because I like this idea, is just pull McIntyre entirely from TV and just have him focus on training. And I think of WrestleMania 12, where it's Shawn Michaels training in San Antonio with Jose Lothario, Bret Hart trying not to fall on the ice training up in Calgary,
right,
and building to that Iron Man match. So if this is the biggest match in Drew McIntyre's career, and it is, he's challenging for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania, so it is. Why not do training videos and build anticipation for it instead of Drew McIntyre going out there and squashing Anderson and Gallows or whoever he's squashing? I think there's more value in promos, training videos, things of that. Treat it like a UFC fight.
Yep.
1 week it's Brock, you know, one hour it's Brock doing the training. The next hour it's Drew McIntyre. It's Paul Heyman being like, look, Drew McIntyre, he's earned the opportunity. We've got to be on alert for him. This, that, and the other thing. I think with 60 days, 70 days, whatever the number is till WrestleMania, that's a smarter way of building things. And if you think Drew McIntyre should be at the live events at Raw, have him do dark matches. That's what they were doing with The Fiend on Raw. He was doing dark matches. So I think that would be a different way of building towards WrestleMania. And you're keeping Drew McIntyre protected by not having him overexposed on TV in the ring. But the house show audience, the live event audience, gets a little bit of a bonus.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, for Paul Heyman to make that decision right there of Drew McIntyre winning the Royal Rumble, and if he can, obviously, Jimmy, it seems as though that he has the power to get to Vince McMahon and convince him like that. If he can convince something like that to Vince McMahon to keep Drew McIntyre off television, it's going to happen. Or if he can convince him to get The Undertaker, I think it's more or less if the Prince of Saudi Arabia wants Drew McIntyre versus The Undertaker, he's going to get it. But to build up that character even more from what we are told here on the Royal Rumble in a potential, I'd say a favorite to beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, it's going to happen. He will have that championship around his waist come the end of WrestleMania 36.
Well, and maybe the Undertaker on paper seems like the right opponent, but the problem is he's a good guy. And so you need Drew McIntyre to knock down all these villains. and mm-hmm. you might need Drew McIntyre. If AJ Styles weren't hurt with a yeah. separated shoulder, which he was trying to do the right thing for Edge, like that would be a scenario where Drew McIntyre against a bad guy, AJ Styles has to go through him, and you get Drew McIntyre. You get Drew McIntyre who has a 4-star, 5-star match with AJ Styles and proves that he can hang. But again, yep. like I'm into, right now, I'm into these scenarios where I want a flash pin somewhere yep. so that it can go, like the Goldberg beating Brock thing from Survivor Series a few years ago. I like that because that was something nobody saw coming.
Right.
And even if it's a car crash match like WrestleMania in Orlando with yeah. Brock versus Goldberg, which I will put that match up against a lot of different matches. I think that was a really good quality match. It protected both guys. It yep. showcased what both guys could do well, and that's just beat the hell out of each other.
Two powerhouses, too.
And so we as wrestling fans have kind of become spoiled, or at least the hardcores, are mm-hmm. like, oh my God, it's a 5-star match. Like it did this, it did that. Every once in a while, you just need the beat the hell out of each other match or the, wow, we didn't see that coming. You need that surprise element. And you don't...
There's always a reason for better health. And here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
I feel like WWE doesn't do that enough.
Right.
You know, the Brock storytelling for the Rumble was excellent.
Oh, fantastic. Excellent.
Yep. And it all built to a moment. So again, it proves that when WWE wants to do it, they can do it.
Right. Right. Yeah, it would be very interesting to see how they're going to build this up here with the I don't know. The way they're telling us is that he is definitely going to be the champion at WrestleMania. And I don't know, with the size that Vince McMahon loves the big guys there, you never know. He could be bigger than Brock Lesnar. He might be. We don't know. It could happen. But with that size right there, anything is possible.
McIntyre was the chosen one. He was destined to be the WWE champion oh so many years ago, and it just didn't work out for him at the time. Maybe this is his time.
Yep.
Somebody who is destined to be the greatest of all time is Charlotte Flair. And she is the winner of the 2020 Royal Rumble match. And the rumor going around is that she is going to challenge the NXT Women's Champion. And we're taping this during Raw, so maybe she's already made the announcement during Raw. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, maybe she's going to make it on Wednesday. If you're listening Thursday during the week, whatever. So the rumor floating around is she's going to challenge the NXT Women's Champion, Rhea Ripley. And my question is why? And the answer is Becky looks like she's going to be matched up with Shayna Baszler. And Bayley is going to be matched up with something else. It could be Sasha Banks if she recovers from her hip injury, which isn't being reported, but that's okay. Maybe it's Alexa Bliss. Maybe it's Nikki Cross. Maybe it's somebody else. We're not sure who Bayley is going to be matched up with because I don't think they're sure. But those are just opinions. So the Ripley versus Charlotte is a new match. And on paper, I'm all for it. It looks like a fabulous matchup. And it just looks right. So I'm into it. I'll watch it. I'll be on the edge of my seat. But what's the finish? What's the finish to this match? If Charlotte Flair goes over and wins, she becomes the NXT Women's Champion and the face of Wednesday night programming. She would be the biggest star on Wednesday night NXT. So the person who Vince McMahon wants to promote as the number one face of the women's division and the greatest women's superstar of all time is going to be on Wednesday night. And while it's an important spot, it's not really a featured spot. The featured spot, in my opinion, is Fox on Friday nights. Wednesday is important, don't get me wrong, because it's the battle for with AEW. But as far as viewers goes, NXT doesn't draw a million viewers on average per week. Raw and SmackDown at their worst points are 2 million viewers per week. So on paper, Charlotte Flair would have gone from main event of WrestleMania to challenging for the NXT Women's Championship. That's perceived as a step down. So if Rhea Ripley wins, she's now defeated Charlotte Flair twice. Once on a TV network big stage and also on the, quote, grandest stage of them all, WrestleMania. So good for her. It's really great for her. But then what? She gets a bragging right. But is that going to draw more viewers to Wednesday night? I'm not sure it is. But I really don't have the answer for what would be next for Rhea Ripley. But back to Charlotte for a second. If she loses, is she taking the summer off again? Is she, I mean, they're trying to present unique matchups for Charlotte Flair because they've kind of run the gamut. They brought Trish Stratus out of retirement 2 weeks before SummerSlam just to give Charlotte Flair a high-profile match, a video game match, if you will. And then WWE sent Trish back into retirement. For long-term booking purposes, Charlotte has to lose to Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania and then find a way to get back into the SmackDown women's division. And the easiest path for that is Money in the Bank. She wins that and then cashes in unexpectedly, and then she's a bratty little villain again. But I guess the bottom line is, shouldn't Charlotte Flair be on WWE's most important show, Friday Night SmackDown? I don't think WWE should move Charlotte to Wednesday night, and more so, I don't know who can be a difference maker on Wednesday nights for them. But WWE also has this problem. They've run out of matches for Charlotte Flair, and they're running out of matches in general. And I don't see how there's a quick fix for that, because it looks like Ronda Rousey, she's not coming back for WrestleMania. So they have a Charlotte Flair problem specifically for WrestleMania. They have the Royal Rumble winner with no easy opponent. So Mike, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a lot to digest. There are some good takes. Now, I'm going to go on the opposite side, where from what WWE is trying to tell us here with the NXT, especially over the last half year, that NXT is, you know, they're not afraid to have the competition there with AEW, putting it on to Wednesday night. And like you were saying, if Rhea Ripley wins, that's a great bragging right. What happens to Charlotte? The answer is simple. If Charlotte wins, she is the greatest superstar ever to step foot in NXT. That would mean, on Wednesday Night Programming, let's make that clear, by the way, that would mean that, you know, she's held every single title imaginable for the women's division. And, you know, and now she'll be the face of NXT. And here she is every Wednesday night. So you have a superstar for television purposes that's been on the grand stage of WrestleMania, that's won the Women's Royal Rumble, that was part of the first ever Women's Evolution pay-per-view main event right there, Hell in a Cell, so all the big-name matches right there, and now on your Wednesday night program, that might be the move here on out. I would not be shocked if you see Charlotte Flair beat Rhea Ripley and go to NXT for a little bit, maybe just for a little bit, and then she'll come back to the main event stage eventually. Or you tie in the NXT championship with her on, i.e., a Raw or a SmackDown, to continue to showcase that brand and have an interbrand on the one of the particular main shows on Monday or Friday night. That's what I see WWE doing, her beating Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania 36, because you win the Royal Rumble, that's a real big deal. Especially the women's, who's only been around 2 or 3 years now, third year in a row, right, for the women's? It's big. So I got her beating Rhea Ripley right there. If she is to take time off in the summer, she's going to have to climb her way back, that's for sure, like you said. But I think that she would definitely become the new NXT Women's Champion. And they're trying to tell you how important NXT is with Charlotte Flair as a champ.
So it would be her second go-around as NXT Champion, and maybe that's a way that they get Charlotte to do one show now, a week. She can do ESPN. She can do all these publicity things.
And think about that. Yeah, so second NXT Championship, second. The first time, NXT had some good viewers. Now everyone's watching Jimmy.
But people will look to Charlotte beating Natalya to win the vacant title because Paige went to the main roster. And they look at that as the start of the women actually having competitive wrestling matches, even though it was really Paige and Emma and da-da-da-da. We don't have to rewrite that history. We don't have to review that history, I should say. But you make the argument that Charlotte and Natty put the women on the map. That's what WWE wants to tell you.
Yep.
So Charlotte going back there, and they are three equal brands in my mind and have been for a while. But as far as viewership goes and potential viewership goes, it's a step back. And that's just a fact.
Well, yes.
And so if the long play is you want Charlotte Flair, she's only got so many bumps on her card left, and you want her to take a step back and just work, the summer is, 30 dates a year, and have her travel to England and have her travel here and be part of the global showcase while she still has a championship around her waist, even though it's not the WWE logoed championship, it's the one with the big gold X on it.
Yep.
Like, you can do that. I don't know who they put on Wednesday night that is a game changer for that. So I would just assume have Rhea Ripley win and find a way to get Charlotte onto the blue brand, which is where she should be.
Yeah.
If she's the greatest female performer of all time, and that's what WWE wants you to believe, that's what Vince McMahon is going for, she should be on the biggest brand. And they did all this. Fox did all this promotion work last summer. Charlotte Flair, Roman Reigns, John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Ronda Rousey. Of those names, who's actually there?
Yeah, just one of them.
It's classic Carney, bait and switch.
Exactly. Yeah, it's crazy. But going back to that, sure, does it look like a step back? Yes, for people that have been around the block with NXT that know the history of it. But now you have a brand new audience. You got a brand new audience of NXT that we're not exposed to that until it came to USA Network. You're building up your audience still. And from all indications that NXT is going to do live events on Wednesday nights, no longer just at Full Sail University down there in Florida. They may go on the road live Wednesday nights starting later this year. Who's the perfect person to have to sell out buildings like that? Charlotte Flair is your women's champion. That's a huge thing right there. Huge.
But you'll need more than that, and they won't put Kevin Owens on NXT.
You'll
need a lot more than that.
But that's a good start in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, Charlotte's a foundational piece on any brand. But I guess my bigger point is you go from main event.
It's a step down.
Of WrestleMania to a TV show that isn't getting a million viewers.
It's a step down from a fan's perspective, but from the business side, they look at it from the franchise player. Because really, should she be challenging Becky Lynch or Bayley? Absolutely. From the business standpoint, they want NXT to go to the next level. And that's what they want us to believe.
Well, they better do a lot more. That's like when they opened the doors for NXT and they beat AEW. Was Roman Reigns really going to show up?
Yeah, I know. I don't think so.
Right? And
yeah.
that's an extreme example. Was Brock Lesnar going to show up to an NXT show?
Absolutely not.
They weren't. And I love me some NXT. I enjoy the fact that they're on Wednesday nights, but NXT should be about Adam Cole and Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano and Rhea Ripley. And if you want to put Asuka back there, if you want to put Ember Moon back there.
Finn Balor.
Finn Balor is a perfect NXT guy. I think Kevin Owens is an NXT guy. There are so many examples, but Charlotte Flair doesn't, in my opinion, fit on the NXT brand.
And the women's division for NXT is pretty deep, too. It's pretty darn deep because you got the UK one, too. It's a pretty good women's roster there. But, you know, you put Charlotte there as a top dog, it just makes everyone even better, Jimmy.
It's deep. And look, I'm all for Charlotte, but I feel like Natalia is not gonna make that big of a difference either. But if you're looking for that leader of the women's locker room, Charlotte's perfect. Natalia's perfect. Somebody like that. But I don't know. Charlotte going to NXT really doesn't kind of do it for me.
Yeah, no, I think all indications, I would not be shocked if
But they've
does.
Run out of matches, and that's the issue. That's the issue. And that's a bigger topic, is that WWE, with 250 people on the roster, is running out of big matches, running out of important matches. And as irony would have it, Raw is starting to build, or at least trying to build, foundational pieces. And SmackDown is like, what can we hotshot this week? What can we do this week? You know, Braun Strowman wins the Intercontinental title, which, if you watched it and you saw the reaction about it, like, it meant something to him.
Sure.
Which I was happy that it meant something to him, because it didn't really mean anything to me.
Well, that's his first title.
It's his first singles title. Yep. He won the tag team titles in New Orleans. He failed a bunch of times against Brock Lesnar, and now he's the Intercontinental champion.
Yep.
And he's excited about that, and he should be excited for it. He should be.
It's overdue.
Because it means something. And he should have beaten Brock for the Universal title, but for whatever reason, they decided not to. So now he's going to be the Intercontinental champion, and how they get it off him, who knows?
Well, you got to remember, too, from the business standpoint, which seems to be one of the main themes of tonight's show here, it's there is a new design on that championship, James, which I'm not a fan of. So it's a great way to sell on the merchandise scale of things with Braun Strowman as your champion, right?
Yeah, I can totally see that. And speaking of selling, as we try to transition as best we can, because we're, of course, broadcast professionals.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Cody Rhodes is going to sell 10 lashes from MJF on Wednesday night. And this is all part of a stipulation MJF has set so Cody can have his one-on-one match at AEW's pay-per-view in Chicago on February 29th. And this, of course, is despite the logic hole that Cody's a vice president and could tell MJF to stick his stipulation in the sun. But to Cody's credit, he's been AEW's number one good guy based on live event crowd reactions in AEW. And really, whatever Cody has touched, he's gotten the crowd emotionally invested in him. He had a match with his brother Dustin, had the building in tears in the aftermath of it. MJF throws in the towel on Cody, tapping to the who was trapped in the walls of Jericho. And that crowd was angry, and they should have been angry. And MJF gets smoked with a beer right in the face, gets soaked with one. So whatever Cody touches is turning into money and emotional investment. And I mention all this because, one, I'm looking forward to seeing Cody get whipped. But two, AEW in the bigger picture has done a lot more aggressive television angles. And I think that's an important factor when they're getting the younger demographic and when they're winning the viewership of Wednesday night. And Tony Khan, to his credit, has taken over more of the creative, which I've mentioned in the past. He's going to TNT and making sure that they're okay with Jericho spiking Jon Moxley in the eye. Yeah. Having MJF wear a shirt that says he banged Dallas's daughter, referring to Diamond Dallas's Paige's daughter, who I believe works for AEW. So, and I've really just enjoyed the build for their pay-per-view matches, for AEW's pay-per-view matches. MJF against Cody, Moxley versus Jericho has been really good. And I think Cody's going to win this match. But against MJF, and you know he's going to win the cage match and then the pay-per-view match. I think Cody's going to win that. Mm-hmm. Moving forward, I'm not sure what he's going to do. And this is where I'm wondering, is Arn Anderson going to turn on Cody? Because you never trust an Anderson.
Yep.
Is Arn Anderson going to bring in Luke Harper, Brody Lee, who's going to debut in AEW sometime in the middle of March when his contract expires? Because Cody can't challenge for the AEW title. So if Cody wins, does he get MJF's ring? And if MJF wins, where does he go? Is he going on to a title fight against Jericho, or is he going against Moxley if Moxley gets the AEW title? And I guess that's kind of the thing that I like about AEW is they have all these questions, and they're simple questions, and it's 2 hours of investment, and yep. There are all these subtle little things that are going on, like Hangman Page and his disgust for the Young Bucks. Hangman Page comes out, tells one of them to hold his beer. He does his slingshot thing, clothesline over the top rope, grabs the beer back and walks out. Like, that's good stuff. Britt Baker is now showing personality as a villain, being yep. that obnoxious dentist who's telling you you've got gum disease and you don't want to hear it because you don't want to pay $10,000 for it. Two, like, what do you mean my gums are an issue? What do you mean my teeth are white as can be? You know, I don't have that problem because I have disgusting mouth anyway.
But Tony Schiavone does.
Yes, and so does Jim Ross, apparently, because Jim Ross. Yes. But I like that AEW is doing these small details. Mm-hmm. Their stories are simple. They're easy to follow. And I think something that's helping AEW in their viewership totals on Wednesday night is it's 2 hours once a week and a pay-per-view every quarter of the year. With WWE, it's 3 hours on Monday, 2 hours on Wednesday, and this is a broken record, right? And if you yep. want more AEW, you can watch their 40-minute show on YouTube, but you can do that on your convenience. But this is one of the reasons why the Attitude Era was so hot. It was Monday night, 2 hours a week, once a week, yep. pay-per-view once a month. You know, and part of the reason why the NFL is so successful is generally it's one day a week for your team.
Yep.
So I think AEW's build towards their next pay-per-view is going really well. I'm looking forward to being emotionally invested in Cody getting whooped on Wednesday night. The Moxley-Jericho thing. Can Moxley overcome the odds of One Eye and the Inner Circle and win the title? I don't think he's going to. I think they're still holding off Jericho versus Kenny Omega, but Kenny Omega's with the tag team titles right now, and he's with Hangman Page, who's his friend. But Hangman is sick and tired of the Bucks act. So is this a way for the Young Bucks to get their tag team titles? Which, that's a whole other story, that this hodgepodge team of Kenny Omega and Hangman Page are the tag team champions before the Young Bucks.
Right, right.
So, but AEW is going about it where they have all these fish lines in the ocean, and they're looking to catch some things, and they're going to hopefully wrap everything up at the next pay-per-view and still have stories to tell going forward. So again, Mike, a lot of information there to unpack.
No, it's good. Yeah. Now, the other thing too with Cody, if he were to lose, or, you know, you have him potentially winning here. If he were to lose here, you have MJF, you know, building up that character again, making him more main event, if you will. Not that he isn't right now, but really going for the Jerichos and the Dean Moxley. Because I could totally see you have Moxley
nice
take the
job
title
there.
Up.
You crossed over Dean Ambrose and John Moxley.
Yeah,
by calling him Dean Moxley. Good job.
It kills me. It happens all the time. It kills me. Have Moxley beat Jericho and then MJF go right after him. That'd be great. And then, sure, two guys who lose, Jericho and Cody going one-on-one. Those are two giant names right there. You can't go wrong with that. It's a great scenario. And just the, you know, I know I mentioned this a few weeks ago. Yes, I would not be shocked if Arn Anderson, like you did say, does turn on Cody. It makes perfect sense. And then he could continue the rival there with MJF. That would be awesome if they don't go the route of MJF going after Dean Moxley. However, though, on the women's side,
did it again?
Did I say it again? Yeah. Oh my God! Sorry, Dean Ambrose. Oh my God, John Moxley. Get under your head, Mike. The other thing too, for the women's side, Britt Baker. This might be the best thing they're doing for that women's division in AEW, James, which has been very paper thin. You have a good heel right there. Make her the top dog in the women's division, Britt Baker, showing true character and being so natural on the microphone. Make her the top dog here on out and go for that championship right away, because they need more help there on the women's side in AEW. All natural, short and sweet, to the point, no writers in AEW. And I love how it's four pay-per-views a year, the old-fashioned WWF model, as you mentioned, that they're doing everything right. And that's why I think there's so much interest in AEW, because less really is more.
Yeah, it's less is more. And the promo, see,
awesome.
We grew up in an era of Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, the promos, yep. The manager, Bobby Heenan, Jimmy Hart, Slick. The promos and AEW's promos are really top-notch, and because they have an aspect of believability. You're not scripting Roman Reigns to say this line at this time and, you know, this line about a pooper scooper, or, you know, Bayley loves making fun of the fans, and that's all Vince. That's all Vince. You don't feel exactly like it's actually authentic Bayley or Pam.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Exactly. With Sasha Banks, like, you get that vibe that's Sasha Banks when she talks about making all this money and, you know, just being a nasty villain. Like, you feel like that's her. Yep. And it's not overly scripted. Yep. You know, when Charlotte Flair is being bratty, you feel like that's the entitled daughter of Ric Flair.
Yep. Yep. Give me real life scenario stuff. This is how I want it, and that's how you want that to be perceived for the audience. You know, that real connection right there and that feeling you have against them. That's a perfect thing, and that's how AEW is doing it very well on the grand stage for them.
Because I think too, AEW feels the crowd and WWE doesn't. WWE is like, this is what we're doing. You didn't tell us you wanted chicken salad, but damn it, you're getting chicken salad. And the crowd's like, nope, this tastes like chicken bleep.
I think the best example of that would be the night after WrestleMania last year, where you had Seth Rollins versus Kofi Kingston to a no disqualification. And what did the crowd end up doing? They chanted AEW.
Yeah.
And crowd wanted a title change. They wanted, you know, someone to carry them both, and they were pissed. So you got to let them hear it.
All they wanted a finish. And speaking of a finish, Mike, finish us off with the lightning round.
All right, here we go. Four quick topics last week on the Corey Graves WWE After the Bell podcast. Ronda Rousey was a special guest, mentioning that she might be back in the squared circle, but she would like to return on a live house show spectrum. Do you think that happens at all this year, James, i.e. before WrestleMania or after WrestleMania?
I don't think it happens, because I think if they were to bring back Ronda Rousey, they would want her on TV and they would want her specifically on Fox. But there is precedent for this. Chris Jericho years ago came back to WWE and just did house shows, just did live events. So yep. There is a precedent for a big star to just do that. And I would think that with house show business down, that Ronda Rousey doing a house show tour would be good for them. It would help their business.
It would help. Definitely.
And there's a reason why she just wants to do house shows, because TV is tedious. You have to get there at noontime. You have to go through all these rehearsals. You have to fight with Vince over what you're doing. You out there perform, and then you get to travel home. House shows are, you show up at the building. How much time do we have? What's the finish? Let's have fun.
Yeah. Yep. And I could see that, to have her continuing getting the reps in there for the house show spectrum. However, on the grand scheme of things with Ronda Rousey coming back anytime soon, you're at least a year out, because I think they will start to build up that character with Rhea Ripley. And now Shayna Baszler getting that push and have the reunification of the four horsewoman of NXT and then Ronda Rousey's posse eventually down the line when she, I think, will be back next year. All right, Revival, they want out of WWE. Thumbs up or thumbs down for you, James? Are you in or out on this?
The Revival wants out of WWE again, please. These guys have done, I don't want to say literally nothing, but they have been mosquitoes in the scheme of Raw and SmackDown. They were awesome in NXT. They were supposed to be the next Tully and Arn in NXT. If I'm WWE, let them walk. See if they can draw money somewhere else, because you know what? I bet they can't. So I'm out on the Revival.
Yeah, I mean, they were my tag team of the year last year, just statistically, and I do appreciate them, but they just don't really connect with the fans. So let them go. Go to AEW. Try to reestablish yourself there. I think that's the best move for them. Next one here. What do you think right now is the best faction in professional wrestling currently?
So I would say the Undisputed Era, but I think the answer is Walter's Emporium. I think that's the actual answer, is Walter's Emporium, but I think the Undisputed Era is better than that. I think Walter's overrated. I'm just not into him. He's oversized, and yeah, he chops, but Roderick Strong at When Worlds Collide went chop for chop with Walter, and I was more impressed with Roderick Strong. So my answer is Undisputed Era, but I think the answer that most people will give you is Walter's Emporium.
Okay. I'm going to go Inner Circle. I think that with Chris Jericho at the helm right there, he's just putting everyone over around him, building them up. It's such a cool name, too. Inner Circle, kind of like a modern-day NWO for me. They're on their way. And finally, if you were to book WrestleMania 36, which is coming, of course, in Tampa, what would be your final match of the night besides Brock Lesnar and Drew McIntyre? If it's not that, what would it be?
So I would do Brock Lesnar versus either John Cena or Brock Lesnar versus The Fiend Bray Wyatt.
Really?
Because you can't call either of those matches. That would be what I would do as far as the last match on WrestleMania. And I would have The Fiend winner take all. He gets both titles. I would have John Cena win his 17th. And maybe that gets booed, but I think people would get caught up in the moment of like, wow, we just saw history, and that's pretty cool. But those would be my two things. I would have Brock go on last against either one of those two.
I'm going to go with Becky Lynch versus Shayna Baszler. And here you are a year later where Becky wins on the main event stage of WrestleMania. A year later, she loses, and it's via tap out. That's how you end WrestleMania 36 in my book.
So why would you have Becky Lynch, who's been the hottest thing for WWE, tap out in the main event of WrestleMania to a villain?
Well, the reason I say that right now is because I just don't see... I don't know if they're... I mean, Becky's been the hottest thing, but I think that they need to push... They've told us they're pushing the NXT brand. They're making it very clear that, you know, we talked about Charlotte maybe going back to NXT. So now you have that scenario right there with Shayna Baszler, who was the teaser against Becky Lynch, have her go up against the hottest thing at WrestleMania right there, talk about how she barely got by Ronda Rousey and Charlotte last year, perfect scenario, and continue that trend there. Becky, you ended the main event last year at WrestleMania 35. I'm going to end you in the WrestleMania event of 36 this year.
Feels like you have Becky Lynch fatigue.
I mean, you know what? It's always good for a little bit of change, but I am very invested in Shayna Baszler, personal favorite.
So I think there's a little bit of Shayna Baszler. I love Shayna Baszler. You don't have to tell me. Yeah. She had an awesome 500-plus day run as NXT Women's Champion and NXT Women's Champion in NXT. That's brilliant sentence structure there, James. Good job. There's a theory that there's some Becky Lynch fatigue, and yes. I would blame creative for that, because she was essentially like off TV from Survivor Series until TLC, and then she's chasing Asuka, and now it's like, what is Becky going to do? And it's easy. It's Shayna Baszler. You have to build to that point. and how they get there is going to be, hopefully it's going to heat Becky back up, because the thing that people don't understand about why Becky got over is because her promos were so good. And she's somebody who can have excellent matches. She really can. But it's her promos and her defiance of authority that got her over, and they need to go back to that.
Yes, they do. That put her over, and she became the Stone Cold Steve Austin of 2019, 2020, 2018, all that. There you go. That's where it is. And again, that was in the scenario of not putting Brock and Drew in the main event. That's what I would do.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can email the show at WrestleCast985@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart. Enjoy your wrestling week. Enjoy watching Cody get whipped by MJF.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect. On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.